Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Hi, guys.
Bailey.
We're going to talk about Travis Alexander.
Oh, we're jumping right in.
Yeah. I have a feeling once you find out the murderer in this story, you're going to know this case, like, immediately.
Okay.
Just because it's happened sort of recently and the media attention has been crazy. So let's just get into it.
Now I'm going to be guessing.
No.
Oh, no.
June 9th, 2008, Travis Alexander was found.
She didn't even start.
He looks very familiar.
Okay, great.
I want to know.
Can I?
Go.
Okay. It's literally like the second paragraph. Relax.
I know.
Travis Alexander was found dead in his bathroom in a gory scene in Mesa, Arizona. So Travis was born in a poverty-stricken home on July 28th, 1977 in California. He was raised with seven siblings to drug-addicted parents. He was subjected to physical abuse during his parents' violent outbursts. The kids were pretty much like left alone to kind of fend for themselves, like cooking when they could, trying to take care of each other. Eventually, when like Travis was like, I think 11, he moved to live with his grandmother in Riverside, California. His grandmom was Mormon and introduced him to this faith. Eventually, his siblings would follow him and live with his grandma too after his father died. I don't know what happened to his mom, but I'm sure the drugs had her like leave or something.
Sounds like he was just generally better off without her anyway, so.
Yeah. As Travis got older, he decided. Yes?
I think that it made him stronger. Maybe. Look at the kids from Shameless. Fiona turned out really well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lacey.
Travis decided not to attend college. It just wasn't for him, which is fine. But he was very much a part of the church, the Mormon church, and went on a mission trip when he was 18. He decided to move from California to Mesa, Arizona, because it was known for the Mormon-based community. He got a job with a company called Prepaid Legal Services as a salesman, which is described as a multi-level marketing company, aka like a pyramid scheme.
I don't think they like when you call them that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's okay.
Do it again.
He also discovered and developed a passion as a motivational speaker. He started telling his story of how he grew up and found his faith to help motivate people. Travis began writing a book called Raising Me, and he even started a blog about his life. By 29, he was very successful. Some called him good looking. He's not really my type.
Really, he's
good looking. I think he's ugly.
I'm sorry. The striped suit in the second photo, I don't know what arrow we were going up. Like,
it
does
feel like two different. Like, he looks nice in the first picture, and then the second one does feel like it was taken like 20 years before the first picture.
Drew, you can go to the next slide. He had many friends, enjoyed making people laugh. He was also known to be quite the flirt.
In this picture with the dog, is he missing a leg?
No, I think it's crossed over.
Yeah, the dog's shoulder is blocking part of his right leg that's crossed over his left foot. He's like crossed at the ankles.
What? That's part of the dog's leg?
That's part of the dog.
This red bit?
I don't think there's anything important about this picture for the kids. He
had his own home, which he rented out two of his rooms to his friend, and had a black pug named Napoleon.
Oh.
That's Napoleon in the photo. In September 2006, his company was having a conference in Vegas. This was the opportunity to give employees, like, time to, like, mix and mingle, hear each other, like, give, like, speaking talks and everything. And it's where Travis met Jody Arias.
Speaking talks. People usually call those speeches.
Whatever.
I don't even catch that.
Next slide, speaking please. Talks. Jody was a stunning blonde and seemed to be carefree and bubbly. You can go to the next slide.
Do you want the next slide?
Yeah. She was an aspiring photographer. And her and Travis instantly hit it off. They were flirting the night away. What?
The picture looks like he's much more interested in her.
Wow. They were up till 4 a.m. talking this night.
Oh. They should get some sleep.
Jody lived in California and Travis in Arizona. So after this little conference, they just stayed in touch. Who is Jody? Jody was born July 9th, 1980 in California. She was the oldest of three. Her upbringing was fairly normal. In middle school, she attempted to grow marijuana in a Tupperware container. When her parents found this, I feel like any parent, they searched her room. Jody was deeply upset by this. She felt it was an invasion of her personal space, and the trust was broken between her and her parents.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In her diary, she said her parents had violated her and her space.
She was just trying to start a small business.
So true.
She could have paid off their mortgage if they really let her run with it.
Exactly.
In high school,
business and stuff. Go ahead.
In high school, they moved to a different town, and Jody really struggled with adjusting and felt like she didn't belong. Her parents described her as being intelligent, but strange. Her dad said they thought she was bipolar. She'd be fine one minute and then fly into a rage the next. She would also be verbally abusive towards her mom and never took responsibility for her actions.
Fun.
Probably the drugs.
In high school, she took a photography.
Oh my God.
There's the word. I know. I'm sorry. In high school, she took a photography class and learned a new passion. She continued this hobby through her adulthood. In 2004, she had a boyfriend and moved down to Palm Desert, California, into a shared home. While Jody was working as a photographer, she also worked at prepaid legal services, where Travis worked, and that is how they met in Vegas. They worked for the same company and met that way.
I was trying to think, because I think I know about this. Mm-hmm. Is she blonde forever?
No.
Okay. Yes, I do. All right, go ahead.
Travis was smitten and started telling his friends that he wanted to spend his life with her. Mm-hmm. But Jody wasn't Mormon, so he couldn't marry her.
Oh, no.
After the conference, when they went their separate ways, they continued to talk. They exchanged their phone numbers. They began texting, calling, emailing. Jody did go home and break up with her boyfriend. That she was living with.
Oh no.
And as they were talking, Travis slowly began to introduce her to the Mormon religion. He sent her the Book of Mormon. He invited her to his church. He sent Mormon missionaries to her home, which...
Wow.
I don't know how I would feel, but...
That feels like an extra step.
Like, why are you sending random people to my home? I don't want to...
Just to talk about Jesus, too. Not even like, hey, I know a friend in the area. I'm going to send him over so you guys can get to meet. Yeah. But like,
Jesus. Even if like she was super into it, if I were her, I'd still be like, I don't want people coming over.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Like, I'm super down with your religion, but like, don't send people to my house.
He would give her passages and quote from the Bible. He gave her this type of, like, purity ring in the Mormon faith, Jesus paintings, and their church leader's biography.
Mm.
So they met in, where was I? September 2006. By November of 2006, Jody was baptized into the church, and Travis was the one that baptized her.
Oh, love.
Two more months later, they officially started dating, even though they were still living in different states. But they would meet up for trips and travel together and start to see the world, and everything was great.
Young love.
And then...
Throughout their relationship, they exchanged, I think I saw over 82,000 emails and sexted often.
That's right.
Sorry, can you say that again? What'd they do?
Over 82,000 emails and sexted often.
What is that last thing?
Sexted?
Gross.
They apparently had a very, let's call it, vibrant sex life. Jody would bring her camera into the bedroom. Obviously, they would have phone sex. This, though, weighed very heavily on Travis, who is, like, very deeply, like, Mormon and respectful of the Mormon faith, because you're not actually supposed to or allowed to have sex before marriage.
Yeah, I was going to ask how that
it's a big no-no.
Worked.
Well, from, my new favorite reality TV show, The Secret Life of Mormon Wives. What did you say?
I keep wanting to watch it, but I'm afraid I'll get sucked in and I won't be able
to watch it. No, it's so good! There seems to be, like really Mormon people that follow it to a T. Like, won't touch alcohol. And then there's, like, the chiller ones. Like, one of the girls is on the show, at least, I haven't watched season two yet, but at the end of season one, she was, like, pregnant with her boyfriend's kid. And, like, they're a Mormon, not married, clearly had sex, having a baby, like, so.
I feel like it's one of those things where, like, it's a big no-no, and because it's so super strict, it just makes everybody sneakier.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're doing it, but just, like, not talking about it as much,
unless you get pregnant.
Also, are Mormons the ones that do like soaking?
Yes.
Yeah, it's so goofy. I love the Mormons because they're so make funnable.
That's not being too offensive.
You think Mormons are listening to us?
I don't think they're allowed.
Maybe
to podcast. They don't get podcasts.
They listen to their own podcast. Wasn't Lori Vallow Mormon?
She sure was. And then she went off that's a why weird at first, tangent.
That at first, when Bailey said that we would recognize it based off of the murderer, I wanted to be like, "Is it Lori?" But I know, but I thought maybe this was like a secret victim.
Oh.
But she seems to be really fond of going to court, so I was like, "I'm not even going to pretend to accuse her of anything." But also, real quick, it seems like they have that with a lot of religions where there are people who are, like, diehards and then some that are just kind of, like, more loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Amish and Mennonites. I don't know
if that's true. I will say, because so the reality show takes place in like Utah or whatever, and because it's so heavily like Mormon out there, they have these like soda like fountain shops that you can have like there a lot of different flavors because they can't have coffee or caffeine really. I don't know about the caffeine. It's definitely coffee though.
I think you're right.
So they drink soda for their like fun drink, I guess, during the day. And I really want to go out there and try some of their flavors. But anyway, you can go through some of the slides. The next like few pics or slides are of them.
She's really pretty.
Yes. In one of Travis's emails, he said, "I went from being intrigued by her to interested in her to caring about her deeply to realizing how lucky I would be to have her as part of my life forever. She is amazing. It's not hard to see that whoever scores Jody, whether it be me or someone else, is going to win the wife lotto." Go back.
Again.
Travis's friends, however, weren't a fan of Jody.
Ooh.
Aw, why?
They were getting weird vibes and said that she was weirdly possessive over him. Jody would follow him everywhere. She would wait outside the bathroom door.
like a toddler.
If Travis happened to be like on the phone, like texting or calling someone, she would demand to know who he was talking to, what they were talking about, the whole rundown. She hacked his MySpace account and would constantly check his phone.
All normal.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I think it's the bathroom thing.
I mean, if he didn't have anything to hide, then like, what's the problem?
She just wants to be close to him.
So true.
Yeah.
This is love. This is how love works.
His friends were very vocal about their concerns, and one of them even confronted Jody and pulled her aside and said,
crazy.
She thought that like they were like, "You're really possessive over him. I just don't think you guys are like a good fit." And Jody was like, "Well, what does Travis think?" And at that point, Travis was like, "I mean, I still love her." So one of Travis's friends actually, like, during like these conversations with him was like, "Travis, I'm afraid we're gonna find you chopped up in her freezer." If that's not foreshadowing.
That feels like foreshadowing.
Even though there seemed like there was like a lot of like love and everything, their relationship was actually like pretty like all over the place. Like there was a few like breakups and getting back together and everything, all in the span of like the 5 months that they were actually together. Eventually Jody went back to Palm Desert and Travis broke it off with her. After the breakup, Jody wrote emails to him saying she now had a stalker who was watching her through her windows.
Oh no.
She told him that the stalker said that he and Jody should be together and Travis didn't deserve her because he was so far away. Travis was like concerned for her safety and worried about her, but his friends, which he has some really good friends, were like, "Dude, no, she's obviously lying about that and trying to get you to like offer her to move in with you.
Bro, don't like, be stupid." That's what
they were. Seems a little like, "Oh, you broke up with her and now she's a stalker and she feels unsafe." Jody ended up having to sell her house because it was getting too expensive. I'm assuming it's probably because it was the house she was sharing with her boyfriend, and after she broke up with him, he moved out. Without saying anything to Travis, and again, they're broken up at this point, she moved to Arizona, 10 minutes away from Travis's house.
Oh dear.
She told her family at the time that she was moving to Mesa, and it was because she and Travis were going to get married.
Oh dear. Oh, Travis.
After she moved, she would show up at his house to surprise him. But the first time she did that, she found that he and another girl were on a date in his house. Yes, Drew.
Oh, did we lose her? She's frozen. How are we still recording without our recording leader?
Oh, you want me to keep going?
Okay.
Can you hear us?
All right, I'll do commentary. I'll double it up. I probably won't interrupt as much as Drew, but I will say things.
I will say, now that she's not with us, when she interrupts me, I want to hit her so hard.
I know.
She really, she messes up my flow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still recording. We're only at 20 minutes. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like halfway done. That makes sense. Okay. Where was I? Okay. So after she moved, she showed up at his house to surprise him, being like, hey, remember when we broke up? Just kidding. I knew it wasn't because I was like stalking you or anything. It's because of the space, Travis, right? She peeked through his windows and saw that he was on a date with another girl in his house.
Oh, what a slut.
Can you believe him?
No.
He has the gall to try to date someone else.
That
when they're broken up.
Could you imagine an ex who lives states away just showing up and be like, I just moved to the next neighborhood and I told my family we're getting married. I miss you.
It's weird that you're on a date with another girl. Like, what the fuck is that?
You're being really, really disrespectful right
now. Wow. It's called faith and trust, Travis.
Can I just say real quick, this is going to be like possibly not quite on topic, but this one picture is really, I find off-putting.
The one where her hand's around his neck?
Yeah, it looks like she might be strangling him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care for that.
No. So if you thought that was like a one-time thing, Lacey.
Yeah.
She continued to show up to his house unexpectedly.
Well, now she knows she has to keep an eye on him.
Yeah. She also, she knew the garage and like door codes. So like she would just let herself in and break in. And sometimes like Travis would like tell her to leave, like get the fuck out of my house probably. And then other times. Other times she would seduce him and stay the night.
Oh, Travis.
Yeah, see, that's why I feel like he probably said it nicer, because he's like,
Jody, you can't do this.
Yeah, he doesn't have any roommates, right? Like, he lives alone?
No, he has two roommates.
Okay, so then, like, what are they doing?
I don't know.
They're probably saying, bro, stop letting her come in here.
Like, she's just breaking into our home.
Can you imagine coming downstairs to, like, your kitchen and you see your buddy and roommate's ex-girlfriend just, like, casually sitting at, like, the kitchen island? And you're like, what the fuck, Jody?
Not even, like, an ex-girlfriend that you enjoyed having around, but, like, the crazy one that you warned him about.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I would try and call the police on her. Because I'd be like, I don't care if you invited her. She is in my home.
Yeah. And she scares me.
So even though they were like still hooking up on and off, Travis was still trying to find his wife and date other girls.
Wait, he's not supposed to be doing that.
Because he's Mormon or because he's with Jody?
I meant the religion. He's not supposed to be hooking up.
Yeah, he's doing it though.
Yeah, he can't really deny Jody. They have like
enthusiastically
the sexual attention is too much.
Okay, I didn't know if maybe she was like coercing.
I think that they, I don't know. They just, I guess they had like some like bad level of attraction. And like, have you ever had like a friend that like repeatedly will like break up with a boyfriend Lazy. Just to go back with them? And
I'm a bit of a floozy.
I think it was just like a bad cycle of like that. Like she was there and like, especially now that she like lived 10 minutes away, like, and she's showing up at his house, like easy access.
Yeah.
Like this is really, what is
really like no work on his part to get.
He's
like, he's essentially door dashing her pretty much, but for free.
Oh, that's,
you know how excited funny. You get when you forget you ordered something, but you come home one day and there's a package on your doorstep.
It's like a present. Mm.
That's probably how he feels, because he was like, oh, you know what? I forgot I ordered you, but here you are. Okay. Let's go inside and open you up. Ew. I didn't care for that.
So, as Travis is trying to see other girls, Jody, of course, is keeping tabs on his dating life. She's continually watching his accounts and hacking his social media.
Okay.
Sorry, Pat just had to close the door. That was why my dramatic pause was. Jody started harassing the girls he was interested in.
Yeah.
One in particular, Lisa, was like hanging out with Travis. Jody went to Lisa's house and start knocking on her windows.
Jody.
One night when Lisa and Travis were hanging out at his house, Napoleon, Travis's dog, alerted and started barking that something was outside. Travis went outside to look around and found Jody snooping around looking through his windows.
I feel like at a certain point, like, I don't want to victim blame here, but like...
But like, you do a little
bit. It's not like she's...
It's one of those.
Yeah. She's not like hiding her behavior. Right.
There's no like, oh, we are so shocked. We didn't see it coming. It's like they all saw it coming.
Yeah.
And there was no like, it just out of the blue, she snapped. It's like, no. Lots of red flags were popping up left and right.
She gave us signs.
Yeah.
So after that night, Travis was able to get Jody to leave his property, but the next morning Lisa received an anonymous email from who could, like, who knows, but the email was said that Lisa was a shameful whore and was essentially chastising her in the name of God for sleeping with Travis.
Fair. Does she have any proof that they slept together, or were they just hanging out?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah. She sounds a little crazy.
We haven't even gotten there yet.
I just want to throw that out there.
Travis would try and leave his house to hang out with Lisa, but he would go outside and discover that someone slashed his tires.
Well, that's just rude.
Yeah. You always want to slash 3 out of 4 because then insurance won't cover it.
For the inconvenience.
Really? I'm pretty sure. I've never done it, but like I've heard it.
She's definitely done it before.
Eventually, Lisa was like, you know what? I'm good. Travis, let's just call it quits.
She wasn't into the harassment or the stalking.
I don't think so. She didn't ask. Weird. Lisa didn't sign up for that. Travis was able to convince Jody to move back to California. In California, she moved in with her grandparents and started working as a waitress in her parents' restaurant.
Nikki called her up and he was like, "Listen, Lisa dumped me. Please just leave.
I won't date her anymore. Just go."
I do like that she seems to be like, he seems to be able to convince her to do things, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not all her power.
While she was waitressing, she met a guy named Ryan, who she hit it off with. Ryan also worked at the prepaid legal services and was also a Mormon. But Ryan lived in Utah. But Jody and Ryan continued talking long distance and even planned to meet soon. It seemed like Jody was like maybe trying, like officially starting to move on. At the same time, Travis met another girl, Mimi, during a LDS singles night.
Okay.
Mimi thought of Travis more as a friend, but Travis was really into her. And you remember my sentence when I said it seemed like Jody was finally moving on?
Yeah.
Just kidding. She started reaching back out to Travis, leaving voicemails and emails.
Was she moving on back into Arizona?
No. She was moving on from California, but staying in touch with Travis and continuing to have phone sex with him.
Travis!
Travis.
She even started recording some of the phone calls without his knowledge.
Don't stick your dick in crazy.
What'd you say, Lindsay?
I said, don't stick your dick in crazy, I believe is the phrase that Travis did not pay attention to.
That should be a t-shirt.
It probably is.
I was going to say.
That's not a Lacey original. That's a thing.
At some point, Travis and Jody did get into a fight. They were going back and forth through emails, and Travis was like saying like he's done. He wanted her to leave him alone. He called her a liar. It's unknown what caused the fight and like what it was like actually about, but like from these emails it seemed like he was like finally putting his foot down. On May 18th, Travis posted his last entry to his blog.
My brother's birthday.
Pretty much he was like describing how like he wants to like date to marry someone, like he wants to be serious about it now. He like described dating as like almost like a job interview. He said, desperately trying to find out if my date has an axe murderer pent up inside her, in the block too, which just, there seems a lot of foreshadowing for this. So Jody's still in California. She's still living with her grandparents. On May 28th, 2008, Jody at her grandparents reported a burglary. In air quotes. She said the only thing that was missing, though, was her grandfather's handgun.
Oh, no.
So that's on May 28th. June 2nd, Jody and Ryan were planning on meeting. The plan was that Jody was going to rent a car. She was going to drive out to see him in Utah. And she was supposed to arrive around on like June 4th. She stopped at a budget rental car in Redding, California, and got a white sedan. She turned off her phone while driving because you don't want to be distracted.
Yeah, yeah.
But she ended up not arriving at Ryan's until June 5th. So, like, a full day late. Somehow during her trip, she ended up turning her phone back on because on June 4th, she called and left voicemails on Travis's phone, rambling about making plans. She also mentioned that she accidentally drove 100 miles the wrong way. And that's probably what was taking her so long to get to Ryan. You're in California going to Utah. What, were you going west? Were you going towards the ocean? What way were you going?
Swung through Mexico.
Oh, okay. She took the scenic route.
She thought it was weird. She started getting a little suspicious when she had to like show her passport to go over a border, but she shrugged it off.
She said, you're so strict these days.
The states are crazy. In early June, Travis was getting excited for his own work trip to Cancun. This is another, like, conference type thing, like how he went to Vegas. For this trip, he invited Mimi along as a friend, but he was hoping that she would fall for him in the Cancun weather.
I think that's just called, like, heat stroke. Tequila.
Oh. I mean, a little bit of heat stroke, a little bit of tequila.
I think you're both right.
Hey, I have a question for Bailey. Yeah. Because this is your story, and then also, like, your company does this. How do I get a job where they send me places?
So, I...
Lacey probably wants to know, too.
Oh. So, I mean, my licensing, I'm required to hit, I think it's 16 hours of CE every 2 years. And, I mean, there's conferences, like, all over the world. Like, I've had people, like, from my hospital go to London.
But how do
it's
I,
part of our,
how do I
it's
make
part money? Of our benefits.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, gonna say, because I need Con Ed too, and I think Lacey probably needs something.
Like, something. We have, like, Act 48 hours that we have to do, but it's just, like, in-service days. It's not as fun as traveling for it.
Yeah, I was just wondering how you get your boss to pay for it.
I mean, it's in our benefits. Okay. Like,
so you
our,
use that that's fun. Offers to do it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, our, for my CEO is very, like, passionate about continuing education. So, like, the actual, like, CE cost is unlimited for everybody. It's, I get a yearly stipend for, like, travel, though.
That's neat.
So, like, I've never paid for a conference, but, like, my stipend will cover, like, my flight and stuff, and then sometimes, like, I'll have to pay extra. Just, like, out of pocket.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Thanks.
Anyway, his Mimi was getting heat stroke in Cancun.
Well, not yet. They were planning on going. But the day before they were supposed to go on the trip, it was June 9th now, and nobody had heard from Travis.
Uh-oh.
He also missed a very important work call, and that's very unlike Travis. Mimi tried getting in touch with him, was unable. She then reached out to his friends, and then a few of them went over to his house. They knew his garage code, so they went in. They actually ran into one of his roommates, who actually thought that Travis had already left for Cancun.
Why does everyone know the garage code? Security is very lax at that apartment. I would not be pleased.
I can't believe one of his roommates didn't change it the first time Jody just showed up in their house.
Do you think he was like, hey, can we, like, not do that anymore? Let's just change
it. That's good. So they went to Travis's room. They found it locked. They managed to get a spare key. And as soon as they opened the door, they were hit with a strong odor and noticed a lot of blood stains all over his room. Mimi, seeing the blood, was like, I'm out. I don't need to see anymore. I'm going to go call 911. While some of his friends continued through his room and discovered Travis in the fetal position in the stand-up shower.
I thought you were going to say Mimi was like, I'm out. And she just left.
Yeah, that helps.
Could you imagine?
She's like, you know what?
No. Too much drama.
Yeah, this is a lot. Not interested.
She's like, you think Lisa had it worse? Fuck this.
Yeah.
I do, in the PowerPoint, there is, like, these are the crime scene photos. There are pictures of his body, too. Just full transparency.
Kind of see with this stain here.
Yeah. So with the investigation, his friends go back to that last photo.
This one?
Yeah. So this is like the last photo of Travis alive. I'll explain in a second, like, how we have this photo. As the investigation began, his friends quickly named Jody as a person of interest.
What?
I know.
Why?
It's because she waited outside the bathroom door all the time.
So they were like, she's really into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Inside his room, they collected DNA, hair, fingerprints. They could tell that this was a very personal attack, and there was evidence that showed that Travis tried to fight back hard.
Good for him.
Good.
There was blood down the walls, in the hallway, and in the bathroom. It was like a massacre. As you can see, like, the sink in there is covered with blood. The, like, shower is covered with blood. Like, it's... Ugh. Yeah. Travis was stabbed 27 times. Jesus. His throat was cut ear to ear, and he was also shot in the head.
Wow.
Wow.
And his roommates thought that he left?
Yeah. There was a bloody handprint found on the wall. There was another small spot of blood that was found on the washing machine. When investigators looked inside, they found bed sheets and a digital camera that had gone through a cycle with bleach. The camera had a memory card. It had been erased, not by accident. They like went through the camera and discovered that it would take at least 5 steps to like wipe the memory card clean. So it wasn't like someone hit a button and it was an accident. After some time of like looking through it and everything and like working with the camera, they were able to collect some photos. Closer to the end of June. The first photo, the first photo was a naked pit photo of Jody at Travis's house with a timestamp being June 4th. The next set of photos were Travis in bed and then in the shower. 5:30 p.m. Travis was looking in the camera wall in the shower, this photo. The following photos were what seemed to have been like the murder. Like, it looked like Travis was on the ground. There was blood coming from his head. And it seemed like the camera kept on like snapping and capturing photos as it was like falling to the ground in a struggle. And most of, like, the photos were of Travis, except they found, like, evidence of another person's leg in the photos. But, like, no other faces or identifying markers. I believe it was, like, early July. Travis had his funeral. Jody attended his funeral, you know.
Ooh, I'd be pissed if I was his family.
Oh, I'm sure his friends and family were pissed.
I mean, they didn't have a problem talking to her before, so I wonder if they were like, can you go away, Jody?
I'm sure they wouldn't have been able to hold back their anger, though.
I would have asked her to leave.
Jody decided to offer her help to the detectives. Called repeatedly, trying to talk to one of the detectives, until she was finally able to get through to one. She said she no longer lived in the area, but she was more than willing to provide any assistance.
Well, they couldn't have solved the case without her, so. Perfect.
Yeah. She said that, like, she said the last time her and Travis spoke. She also made a fun comment that, she said that Travis was getting fit and working out for his Cancun trip, so there would be, like, no way that she could have overpowered him, and it most likely was a team of 2 people that took him down.
I mean, obviously, yes. Yeah.
This is again, this was on a phone call with a detective, and like that was unprompted. So like the detective was like, okay, like that's a fun comment you just made.
I want to help you guys with the case, but also I for sure was not the guy.
Well, Lacey,
but also have you considered this?
Lacey, what you have to keep in mind is like when you're trying to solve a case, you need to start with the victim's like immediate circle and work out who is in Travis's immediate circle. Jody. So it's just, she's just trying to make it easier on them. Like quickly eliminate her as a possible suspect, move on. We don't want to waste time focusing too heavily on Jody. And it was very, I'm sure the detective didn't even consider the thought that there were two people involved.
Yeah.
So
she's very helpful.
Very valuable.
Honestly, thank God we have her.
He witnessed.
July 15th, the police went out to Jody's grandparents and decided to bring her in for questioning.
Why? Weird.
You know, I don't know.
Maybe she had more great ideas.
She probably, well, I mean, like, that was just a phone call. She wasn't formally interviewed, so, like, they need to get, yeah. When they arrived, they found one of the cars that Jody had packed had clothes, two knives, a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, a box of condoms, and Jody was sporting a new hairstyle and hair color. She was trying out the brown. They also discovered that when she returned the rental car that she used to get to, like, Utah to see Ryan, the clerk on duty noticed red stains on the sheets and the floor mats were missing. Jody claimed that she spilled Kool-Aid, and that's why she had to throw the mats away.
She spilled Kool-Aid from all over the car, front and back. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
You ever see, did you ever see the Two Bears, One Cave clip where Bert is like, has a giant like 64-ounce jug? And he's like, oh, I love Kool-Aid. And Tom Segura's like,
there's Kool-Aid in there?
Kool-Aid in there?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's so fucking good.
It's one of those. He's still alive.
I know. So while Jody was in the interview room, she was sporting a smile and was pretty, like, calm demeanor. She denied having involvement in any of it until the detectives brought up the photos, specifically the naked photo of her that was time-stamped for the day Travis was murdered. And they were like, hey, is that you? And she's like, well, it looks like me.
Oh.
Okay. She claimed she had an alibi and that she was in Utah with Ryan. When they reached out to Ryan, he was like, I mean, she was with me, but not until the 5th. So, not really an alibi, Jody. She continued to deny any involvement and said that if she had killed Travis, she would ask for the death penalty.
Yeah, that's one of those tricks where, like, you ask somebody, like, if we find the person who did it, what should their punishment be? And usually the guilty person will be like, I think you should go a little light on them. Like, so you know that she's not guilty because she said whoever did it should get the death penalty.
Drew, you can scroll down more to the next slides. The next photos are like autopsy photos and like showing like how badly he was beaten.
Yeah. So you would definitely need two people to stab him in the back like this because he is so strong. He would have been able to fight off one little girl behind him. So.
Keep going. Keep going.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Next.
What happened to her, his foot?
I think he probably had like a scrape or something. He had 27 stab wounds. I'm sure they weren't all on his chest.
I know. I'm just like.
Where was I?
And then, so is this where like the gunshot was?
Yeah.
Or up here?
Yeah, I think it was like in. It was like his front of his face.
Sorry, Lacey.
That's all right.
Sorry, Lace. So the detective brought up the bloody handprint, saying the handprint wasn't hers. We know that. But the blood was tested, and it came back a mix of Travis and her blood.
Well, they're in love, so right, that can just happen right when you're in love.
Perfect, because the detective was like, how could that happen, Jody? Like, what was happening? And she was like, well, my DNA is in the room already, so like that's why it showed up in the blood.
Yes.
Okay.
As a scientist, yes.
Yeah.
Next question.
The detective was like eventually like just losing patience and was like, well, Jode, we have more than enough evidence. it's over, so we're gonna book ya. Do you know what Jody asked when she heard this news?
Probably something really stupid, like, who's going to walk my dog? Or
no, she asked if she could clean up before taking her booking photos.
Priorities.
Mm-hmm. She asked for makeup.
What? I'm sorry.
So this is her in the interview room.
What's happening here?
So after the detective left, before they booked her, she, there's like, obviously there's video of it, but she's left in there for like probably like 20, 30 minutes by herself, and she's bored. So she like starts singing to herself. She starts talking. Eventually she like does some stretches. She does like a yoga handstand, you know, super chill, like centering herself.
So she's like legitimately crazy then.
Yes.
Okay.
They didn't allow her to clean up or have makeup, so that was lovely. The top photo is her like first booking photo. The bottom one is like when she's like in jail.
Did they,
yeah, she's deeply upset about it.
Yeah. Did they put a fan on her though? Like, why does her hair look like that?
She swept it back. The next day,
no makeup, but we'll allow you to look when.
The next day, she's ready to talk again, and she said, "I have a different story. Actually, I have the truth. I'm gonna tell you guys the truth. What happened?"
Oh, good.
Just let me get through this little bit, Drew. I just want you guys to absorb the story.
Let me close my eyes and really like try and get into it.
Are we ready? Okay. Lacey, you ready? Okay.
I'm ready.
So she said she was at Travis's house when two people dressed in all black, like ninjas, came bursting through the door at night. She said they were there to assassinate Travis. She wasn't sure why, but she knew that they were after him for sure. Jody at one point was knocked out. And she was unconscious for an unknown amount of time. But when she awoke, she saw them in ski masks and could hear Travis yelling at her to get help. The ninjas had gone through her purse and collected her address and her parents' address. Jody was able to fight off one of the ninjas. One was the one that was definitely female, because there was a male and a female. And Jody was able to get away. When she was asked after giving the story, like, why didn't you call 911? She was like, well, my phone was dead. And when she was asked again, she was like, I didn't want the ninjas to come after me or my family. Like, they knew where I lived.
Exactly.
And that's Jody's, that's her second option of the truth. How do we feel about that story?
I mean, makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, two people. One ninjas. Of them was obviously a woman. Ninjas. Yeah. Right. Right. And like the Beverly whole like assassination. The assassination plot makes a lot of sense. Real quick, just a little side note. For it to be an assassination, doesn't it have to be like a public figure?
True, he was a motivational speaker.
I know, but like, I feel like I'm genuinely asking, like, you can't just call any attack an assassination, right, Lacey? You're English?
I don't know what like the official term or definition would be for assassination. So,
the dictionary defines assassination as the action of assassinating someone. Does that help?
Which dictionary?
Oxford.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so assassination is the willful killing by a sudden, secret, or planned attack. Check. Of a person, especially if prominent or important. It may be prompted by political, ideological, religious, personal, financial, or military motives. So the fact that she used the word assassination, she knows the motive. Oh. Goodness.
So she went to trial, obviously. And
why?
Because they didn't really believe that story.
It sounds like the police were being lazy and they didn't want to look for a pair of ninjas.
So true. I mean, how could you? They're ninjas, Drew. How could we catch them?
Well, they just they just went for like the easiest target, which was, of course, mm-hmm. poor Jody.
Mm-hmm.
She was a victim.
Yeah, I'm sure she feels that way in her head.
Especially in the second mugshot.
Yeah.
That just screams court, I'm a victim.
She changed her appearance even more. She kept her natural brown hair, two more slits. But she sported some bangs, was wearing more modest clothing, and now wearing glasses.
She that looks like a completely different person.
Yeah. So some people think that she did this to come off more like innocent or timid looking,
mm-hmm.
or like a librarian.
I was just gonna say it's more of a librarian look.
Yeah. Obviously the public thought this was just a ploy. Jody responded and said, it's not fake or a lie. She doesn't have access to hair dye in prison. And also, my eyesight went to shit because I'm in prison. And that's why I have glasses now. Which is not how eyesight works. But okay, Jode.
Listen, are you a doctor?
No.
Then I don't think that you're qualified to say that her vision went to shit in prison.
I'm just saying, we don't see her wearing glasses after court anyway.
Gets so much better.
At one point she was put on suicide watch because she half-heartedly tried to commit suicide.
Half-heartedly.
She tried to slice her wrists, but it stung, so she stopped.
She didn't expect it to hurt.
Yeah. Sucks. She began her trial saying,
do you think that she thought, like, wow, this hurts. Poor Travis.
Funny you should say that, because the prosecutor brought that up, like, in her trial and was like, so you're saying it stung, but how do you think Travis fucking felt when you did it 27 times?
Yeah, it probably really fucking stung.
Yeah. When her trial began, she said that she'd rather die than spend her life in prison. Her case was they were going to for first degree, and for sentencing, it was either going to be like life in prison or the death penalty. So the prosecutors put together their idea of what happened, based on the evidence. So what they believe happened was when Jody went to on her trip to Utah, they know that she filled up 2 gas cans for the journey. This is to believe, so she could avoid stopping, making like a trail, or also being seen on any cameras, that she was actually not where she said she was. She turned off her phone so she couldn't be tracked. So these 2 things were leading them to that it was premeditated. When she arrived at Travis's, they started taking sexy photos of each other. While Travis was in the shower, she stabbed him in the chest. Travis fell forward towards the sink, where Jody started stabbing him in the back. Travis tried to fight and tried to get away by going down the hallway, but Jody slit his throat, brought him back into the bathroom, where she shot him in the head, then placed him back in the stand-up shower, and then attempted to wash his body. She then took the bedding and the camera, put it in the washer, and then left. Once she was, like, far enough away from, like, his house and, I guess, Arizona, she turned her phone back on and then started, like, leaving messages on Travis's phone for, like, alibi and stuff. Jody, bless her heart, took the stand on her trial. Do you have a comment before we get into this next part?
I was just like, I feel like she went through all the trouble of trying to cover her tracks by filling up the 2 gas tanks, getting like an alibi ready, all that. And then she like took pictures. Like,
she's a photographer, stupid. Drew.
I know, but like,
I'm surprised she didn't take the camera with her and try to get rid of it somewhere instead of just like throwing it in the wash. Like, I understand she probably figured it would be destroyed, but like, just get rid of it.
But also, like, she goes through all of this, like, trying to get rid of the camera, bringing the gas cans, turning her phone off, but yet you rent a car, return it with stains on it, return it without floor mats on it, like,
yeah.
That you got, like, you didn't, you just kind of like half did it. Like, you could have, like,
well, you gotta, like, put yourself in her position, Bailey. She just, the amount of effort that it takes to stab somebody 27 times was exhausting. And then she had to wash his body, also exhausting, because as she said, he is a big guy. And then she had to like start tidying and like that.
She didn't tidy anything up. There was blood all over the place.
She put some stuff in the laundry.
Okay. So Jody took the stand and her story changed again. She was like, this time I'm telling the truth. I'm under oath. I'm going to be 100% honest. Aliens. Just kidding. Oh. It wasn't that.
I was gonna say she would go from ninjas to aliens.
She said she started blaming Travis, saying he was abusive and controlling towards her.
Oh my god.
She of course
is that why she cried on the stand. Him?
What'd you say?
Is that why she was stalking and harassing him? Because he was so abusive.
Yeah. She admitted to killing him on the stand, but said it was self-defense. He was trying to attack her. She also tried to diminish his character, saying he wasn't this good religious Mormon man. He was having sex outside of marriage and, like, having these, like, phone sex conversations. And, like, I have a recording of it, and they, like, they played one of the recordings of their phone sex, like, in court, which also, like, his entire family's there. I'm sure they don't want to hear that. like, a little bit of, like, what they played was, like, Travis describing how he wanted to, like, tie her to a tree and, like, take her from behind. And I don't know. Nothing abusive if she's consenting, but whatever.
He said he wants to tie her to a tree, Bailey. Are you crazy?
She wasn't... Okay, well, she was responding, oh, ooh. Anyway, the day of the murder, she said that she walked into the room and caught him masturbating while looking at a photo of a little boy.
Wow.
So, not only is he an abuser, he's also a pedophile, she says. Which, the prosecutor, while she's on the stand, was like, yeah, if you knew he was a pedophile before all this, or, like, you suspected it, why'd you keep having sex with him for months? Doesn't make sense, Jody.
Because she's not a little boy. What is...
Fair.
How does it affect him?
She claimed that Travis got into the shower, and she was taking photos of him. Travis got mad at her, probably because you're taking photos of him in the shower, and started to trying to attack her, but she was able to grab a knife and stab him in the back.
Oh, phew.
Then she ran to his closet and grabbed his gun.
Mm-hmm.
But from here, she blacked out because she doesn't remember shooting him or cutting his throat.
It was probably the ninjas.
Yeah. The next thing she remembered was driving through the desert, like, to Utah.
Mm-hmm.
She also, at one point, goes on to say, if I was ever going to kill somebody, I would use gloves. I have plenty of them. I did not take his life.
Makes sense to me.
If she has them, why wouldn't she use them? You know what I mean?
Because that would be obvious that she did it then, Lacey, because she just said that she would.
Yeah. You know.
Her court case was, like, heavily televised. And if you go to the next slide, you can watch some of my favorite clips of it. Oh, nope, go back.
How do you, since it was so heavily
televised?
Televised. How do you think that she, like, handled not being able to look pretty?
I think, even though she said it wasn't a ploy, I think she and her defense did that on purpose.
No, like, I 100% agree that it was a purposeful act, but I still feel like she was kind of like, but I'm going to be on TV, so, like...
There's... So, the one slide where, like, she has compacts, that's her getting ready for interviews.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know.
Yeah.
So, that's why I'm like, it was more of, like, I bet she hated having to be televised and not having, and looking the way that her defense likely made her look.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like she probably also really enjoyed all the attention. So pause it right there real quick. You're gonna go to 2 minutes, I think.
Oh, is it on the slide? 2:30.
Yeah, 2:30. This is where she is pretending to cry.
Well, I guess we'll be the judge of that.
Oh my God. Are you crying where you were shooting him?
I don't remember.
Were you crying when you were stabbing him?
I don't remember.
About when you cut his throat, were you crying then?
I don't know.
So take a look then.
Okay, now go to 8:06.
I don't know why you said she was pretending. That looks really, really real.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I was trying to kill myself, I think.
Ma'am, you said that many times.
Oh no, your internet's not working.
I don't know that many, but I've
heard frozen.
For me.
What's happening?
It froze.
It froze.
Oh no. What should I do?
Try it again.
You more than 3, 4, 5 times, right?
Working?
Yeah, it was working there. Maybe it just wasn't loaded yet.
I don't know. I was trying to kill myself, I think.
Did it again.
Mm-hmm.
But every count at a time I did.
You said it more than 3, 4, 5 times, right?
Yes.
And in fact, one of the things that you was about that you want to be careful that you kill yourself. You get in jail. So you do remember that. And that when you try to do that, you took some Advil. Do you remember?
Yes.
And that what you did then is you took some razor, right?
Yes.
And that you cut yourself, right? It was a knife. And because it's close to blood, that's not right for me to kill, right?
I didn't say that.
You said it stung, and that's why you stopped. Isn't that what your direct testimony was?
That night, yes.
Right. And that's the night that I'm talking to you about, right?
Yes.
I'm not talking to you about anything, am I?
It sounded like you were.
No. And just to be clear, I'm not talking to anybody. Do you understand that?
Okay, I understand that.
And you nicked yourself, and it hurt, right?
Yes.
And I think the word that you used, stung, right?
Yes.
You use your standard, ma'am. Because it's how much when you
go to the next video, please.
She reminds me of Amber Heard, how every time she answers the question, she needs to look at the jury.
Yeah, it was really annoying. Also, I really enjoy the prosecutor because he was like that stern and like aggressive with her the entire time. And at one point he's like, can you just answer the question like as I've asked it? Like, because you're constant, like she constantly tries to like reword it in her favor almost.
Yeah. I liked him because he reminded me of Raymond. What's his name? Burrow? No. What's his name?
I don't know.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah. Go to 7 minutes even. So this is after she's found guilty, and this is at the point of this is an interview while we're waiting for it. We're waiting for the jury to come back with, like, the sentencing of what they want to do.
Believe me.
If you get life in prison, you could conceivably get out someday. Do you deserve freedom?
If I were freedom again, I would handle it very, very responsibly.
So you think people should feel safe if Jodi Arias is out of these four walls at some point?
I think so, yes. If you're not abusing me and attacking me and threatening to kill my life, there's no reason to fear.
You really are still sticking with that story.
It's not a story, it's the reality. And it's unfortunate, but it is a reality.
Okay.
I didn't know that you were a hater when you came to interview me.
Arias seems surprised by the tough questions. By her own admission, she lives in a bubble behind bars.
We talked to a lot of your friends.
What?
I said you could stop it now.
Some of whom said that Jodi is the most hated woman in America right now. Do you feel that?
No, I don't feel it here. I'm so incubated.
I like that he was like, you know, I know that you said you're in a bubble. Everybody hates you outside the bubble. Just
so you know how things are in America right now.
Yeah. You're in prison, but outside that little bubble, hate you. And if I hadn't told you, you wouldn't have known. But just so you know, hated.
Well, like, and like after that, she goes on to be like, well, they're filtering out like all the bad, like, so I only hear like the positives, like the people that are like on my side. Okay.
Which
and then he, they? I don't know, but then he goes on to be like, you know, after it was announced that you're found guilty of first degree murder, the people outside the courtroom were cheering. Did you know that? And she's like, I may have heard that.
I thought they were cheering for something else, though.
The timing seemed weird, but
so before they were sent, the jury was sent for sentencing, she had the opportunity to talk to the jury. She said that she wishes that she now wished to be sentenced to life to spare her family. She said, quote, to this day, I can't hardly believe I was capable of this violence. She also, in a way, started, like, almost giving, like, a campaign speech of, like, saying, like, if she has life in prison, like, all the positive changes she can do behind bars and all the people she can help.
I think her being gone would be a positive change for the world.
Lacey, but you don't even know about the program she wants to start.
That's true. Tell me. Tell me.
She wants to start a recycling group.
Oh, well.
She wants to start a book club.
Oh.
She could do Spanish lessons. I think there's a photo around her somewhere, but she's holding up a t-shirt that says Survivor in purple.
Oh, yeah.
She designed these shirts, Lacey. So, and plans on selling them to help victims of domestic violence.
Oh, I'd be so mad if I was his family.
Did she spell Survivor wrong?
What'd she say?
Did she spell it wrong?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It looks like an A.
I think it's just like a wrinkle there.
Also, you worked really hard to design that shirt, Jody. Like, wow.
Yeah.
She then said that she has plans on continuing to grow her hair so that she can donate it to cancer patients.
Wow.
Yeah. In the interview we just watched, at one point he brings that up and he's like, don't you think, like, because you want his family to have
enough?
Well, like, don't you think, because, like, you want, you say you want his family to have, like, closure and everything. Isn't, like, how does it feel, like, that they want you dead, but you're fighting to be alive? Like, that's not closure for them.
Die she's for the, like, family.
Yeah. And she's like, he brings up, like, her hair and, like, all these things she wants to do. And he's like, those seem kind of trivial. And she's like, yeah, but, like, if I'm sentenced to, like, death, like, that's less wigs I can donate for cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could do without your hair, Jode. Also, interestingly, no character witnesses testified for her before they went to, like, deliberate for the sentencing. And the interviewee is like, you don't have anyone on your side. And she's like, that's not true. My mom and my dad really wanted to, like, testify, but my defense attorneys and I, like, agreed that it was just going to be me. Okay.
Yeah. Her parents thought she was weird. So.
Yeah. It also seems like that's a weird stance to take. Like, wouldn't you want more people fighting for your life?
They were worried that her parents would just go up there and call her weird.
I guess. Unfortunately, the jury could not decide. They were deadlocked, and a second trial had to take place in 2015. The next jury also ended in a deadlock as well. On May 8th, but eventually the judge sentenced her to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And just in March of 2020, she attempted her first appeal to overturn her conviction, which was denied.
Nice.
Yes.
How many wigs has she donated?
No idea.
Hmm.
But Drew, what about that recycling group?
Yeah, has she started that?
I don't know.
Book club?
I don't know.
Spanish lessons?
No idea.
Hmm.
Well, she should become fluent by the time she's, you know, done. She has not a lot to do right now.
Yeah. Sorry, wait, hold on. Is she taking Spanish lessons? I thought she was teaching Spanish.
She was giving them.
Oh.
Okay.
I didn't even know she spoke Spanish. I thought she was going to take Spanish lessons.
Well, I mean, I don't know if she speaks Spanish either. Maybe she was going to, I don't know.
I thought she was going to learn Spanish.
Donde está el baño? Now you say it.
Not the bathroom. That's a very serious spot for her.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
So yeah, Lacey, she wouldn't try and convince the jury not to kill her by saying, I want to better myself, so let me live so I can, you know,
I take could Spanish. Speak Spanish.
Yeah.
That is the story of Travis Alexander and Jodi Arias.
So she's still alive?
She's still alive.
In jail.
Isn't she great?
I hope that's where she stays. No, I don't like her.
Oh, I don't anticipate her coming out, like, ever. Like, she's...
I feel like when she's, like, 75, they're gonna be like, let's just let her out.
Well, and I saw, like, so, I don't know if you've heard of Bailey Sarian. She does, like, true crime, like, videos on, like, YouTube. So I watched her video on her, and apparently... Jodi has, like, men fan clubs, like, that, like, want to, like, date her, I guess.
Every murderer has a fan club.
Like, I don't understand.
I'm surprised they didn't try and go with, like, the she's legit crazy.
Like a mental disorder?
Yeah. They probably could have done really well with that.
They could have, but, like, I don't know. It may have, like, if they went down that road, I wonder if it would have, like, derailed, like, their premeditation.
Mm.
Like, if they... It's also... I saw... at least from the last case I did, it's up to the defense to bring that up. And I don't think they did.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't.
Yeah.
It was a way to try to get her not dead.
And so they just went after Travis's, like, character and tried saying that he was abusive. And a pedophile. Yeah. Like, her defense attorneys called, like, Travis's, like, ex-girlfriends up on the stand and were like, did Travis ever, like, make you, like, dress like this or, like, call you a whore, call you a slut? He said something else that was, like, just, like, a three-hole something. It was something grosser than that. And, like, Travis's one ex-girlfriend was like, no, he never did any of that with me. And the defense attorney was like, so it's very clear that, like, Jodi and Travis's relationship is so much more different than, like, how Travis treated you. I guess going off of, like, how she was abused, but, like, I mean, she was willing. She was into that stuff too, so. Yeah. Any other comments?
I hope she stays in jail.
Yeah, I mean, like that. I feel like she's also just, a lot of people know her name and she's very hated that I don't think she'll get out anytime soon.
Good.
I hope she's not getting protection in jail. Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.